A number of years ago now, a woman by the name of Ann Tyler wrote a book that later became a movie with the title of The Accidental Tourist. Some of you may have read the book or seen the movie. The central character of Tyler's book and then also the movie is a writer by the name of Macon Leary. And Macon Leary writes travel guides. He visits countries or places, and then he kind of learns a little bit about them, and then he writes travel guides, but he writes them specifically for businessmen and businesswomen who have to make these trips abroad generally, and he his whole hope, his whole desire in writing these travel guides is to help his readers suffer as little discomfort as possible on these trips. The name of the travel guide is The Accidental Tourist, and the logo on the front of the book is an armchair with wings on it. And now in each edition of his travel guide, Macon Leary teaches his business travelers how best to isolate and insulate themselves from wherever they might be, so they can travel the world and not really experience the world and can feel comfortable at home. One of his readers actually writes to him at some point in time in the book and says this: traveling with the accidental tourist is like going in a cocoon. But for Macon, the travel guide is not just a way of making a living, it's also a way of living. You see, Macon is not to be bothered by the uncertainty and the inconvenience of life, and so he wraps himself in a cocoon of predictability and comfort. Even Macon's wife is left on the outside of this, where she says to him at one point in the story, "It's as if you pass through life without being changed." Through the course of the story, however, Macon comes to an important realization, namely that the very cocoon that protects him, this cocoon that he's built around him and keeps him away from the uncertainty of life, also keeps him away from life. It keeps him away from the joy and the wonder of living. And so Macon in the book is faced with a choice between comfort and isolation or the adventure of living the life around him. Now, apart from its entertainment value, the story of the accidental tourist presents a question to the readers, a question to the viewers, and the question is this: how am I living my life? Am I living my life in the pursuit of comfort or challenge? Am I living my life in pursuit of security or risk? Am I just pretending to live, or am I really living? Well, those same kinds of questions are raised this morning as we turn to the second in our series of the unknowns of the Bible, a man by the name of Hobab. And whereas the accidental tourist causes us to ask questions about our daily lives, the story of Hobab raises questions about our lives of faith. Questions such as these: is my faith an active, living thing, which is willing to take risks, which is willing to step out where God leads, or have I made my faith a thing of insulation and isolation, something that keeps me from the world at large, from the fear and pain of the world around me? I want to consider these questions as we look at our text for this morning from Numbers chapter 10. We're going to read verses 29 through 33. These are the words of God, words from the book that we love. Now Moses said to Hobab, son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, "We are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, 'I will give it to you.' Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel." He answered, "No, I will not go. I'm going back to my own land and my own people." But Moses said, "Please do not leave us. You know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you can be our eyes. If you come with us, we will share with you whatever good things the Lord gives us." So they set out from the mountain of the Lord and traveled for 3 days. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord went before them during those 3 days to find them a place to rest. These are the words of God. Well, let's begin by considering a little biographical information about the man named Hobab. Hobab, we are told in Numbers 10, verse 29, was the son of Reuel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law. In other words, Hobab was Moses' brother-in-law. Now, something you need to know about Moses' relatives is this, is that they were not Israelites. Jethro, or Reuel, Jethro has two names. Moses' father-in-law is either called Jethro or Reuel, is identified in Exodus 2, verse 16, as a priest of Midian. And here in our text, he's identified as a Midianite. And then a little later on in Judges chapter 4, verse 11, his tribe, the tribe of Reuel, the tribe of Jethro, the tribe of Hobab, is identified as the Kenites. Now, the Kenites were a nomadic people, traveling from place to place, living in tents. They had cattle, of course, livestock, but they might have also been traveling metal workers. The name Kenite literally means a smith, a person of the smithing people, if you will. So it's very possible that's how they lived. But their home was on the Sinai Peninsula. It was on the eastern side of the Sinai Peninsula around Mount Sinai and a little bit north towards Israel. They were very familiar with that part of the world. They moved around there on a regular basis, moving here and there to find forage for the animals. But there were also a number of places where they knew they could dig into the hills and get the ore that they needed to do their metal smithing as well. And so it's safe to say that Hobab was very familiar with the area surrounding Mount Sinai. He'd probably been there many, many times. It's very likely that Hobab was not a young man. Remember, he's Moses' brother-in-law. Remember that Moses is 80 when he's called to guide the people of Israel out of the promised land. And so even if Moses robbed the cradle when he married Zipporah, it's likely that Hobab was an older man at this point in the story. And so here we have in our story, Hobab, the nomadic, aging, non-Israelite brother-in-law of Moses, keeping company with the chosen people. And so it is that sometime later in our chapter for this morning, Moses issues an invitation to Hobab. Now our text records for us that this is the time when the people of Israel were packing up to leave from Mount Sinai. They've been at Mount Sinai about 11 months now. We talked about this last week when we talked about Bezalel and Aholiab, about the fact that Israel stayed there at Mount Sinai for about 11 months. God gave his decrees and his laws, and they built a tabernacle there. But now it's time to move on. It's time to continue the journey on to the promised land. And as this move begins to take shape, we read in verse 20, "Now Moses said to Hobab, son of Reuel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, 'We are setting out for the place about which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us, and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel.'" Now, the motivation for Moses' invitation, it appears from the text, is not just because he likes having Hobab around. Obviously, he gets along with his brother-in-law since he invites him to continue traveling with them. But also, he knows that Hobab will be a great asset on the journey ahead. Notice what he says in verse 31. "You know where we should camp in the desert. You can be our eyes." Quite literally in the Hebrew there, it says, "You can be for us instead of eyes." In other words, we don't just have to look. You know the area. You know the terrain. You know where we need to go. Hobab knows the desert like the proverbial back of his hand. He knows how to survive. He knows where to go. He knows where not to go. And he knows things that only a lifelong desert dweller could know. And so his services would be of an incredible value. And so Moses makes his pitch. He says, "Throw in your lot with us, Hobab, and we'll share all of the Lord's blessings with you." Now, on the surface, this seems like just kind of a business transaction, if you will, where Moses is looking at somebody who can be of a benefit to the people, and Hobab is looking for a payoff, and so they're talking about it in this way. But the offer that Moses makes is more than a sensible business deal. It's more than Moses offering ample compensation for exceptional expertise. Rather, Moses' invitation is a call for Hobab to put his trust in the Lord. I want you to notice how he invites him. He says, "Come with us and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good things to Israel." Moses is saying to Hobab, this is an opportunity for you to step out in faith, to trust this God whom we follow. But Hobab isn't an Israelite. He hasn't lived through the whole experience of Egypt. He hasn't seen the power of God. And so on one hand, he has a familiar homeland, a life that he's used to, a place that he feels secure if he just turns around and walks away. And on the other hand, he has this uncertain future with an unfamiliar people and an unknown God. Now, from Hobab's point of view, the decision is a no-brainer. If you look at verse 30, he basically says, nope, don't want to do that. Going to stay in my winged armchair. Going to stay in my comfort zone, if you will. Hobab chooses comfort over challenge. He says, no, I'm going to stay here. But as he makes that choice, I want you to consider what Hobab is about to give up. If he decides to stay, to not go with God's people, notice what he's about to give up. He's about to give up an opportunity to be involved in one of the greatest acts of human history. Did you know the Jewish people consider the Exodus, the travel of the journey out of Egypt and to the Promised Land, they consider this to be as great importance as the creation of the world? For the Jewish people, the Exodus is a second creation, if you will. It's an incredible movement of God's power and might amongst his people. He's going to take these people. He's taking these people out of Egypt with power. He's leading them through the desert to the Promised Land. They're going to become a mighty people. But even more important than that, they're going to become the people through whom the Savior of the world comes to be. But all Hobab knows is the risky future that lies ahead of him. Now, it's in this respect that I want to step out of Hobab's story and into ours and talk about how much we are like Hobab. You see, as God calls us to faith, he calls us to an unknown future. The future that God calls us to is full of great and glorious promises. God has promised great things to us, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven, his presence in every possible way. But like Hobab, we can't see those things. We don't have them in our hands. We can't hang on to them. All we have is God's word, God's invitation. And to accept that invitation is a risk. I think this is something we often don't realize about faith, is that faith is a risk. We have a tendency to think about faith as Macon Leary thinks about travel in The Accidental Tourist. We think of faith as a cocoon. We think of faith as a way to insulate and isolate ourselves from the world around us, when the reality is that faith is exactly the opposite. The life of faith is a life of risk. It's more than a sensible business deal. It's not as if God says, if you do this, then you'll get that, and it's all kind of aligned out and settled for us. Faith is about more than comfort and security. If you don't believe that, read the stories in the Scriptures. I'm not sure there's a person in Scripture that lived a life of faith that had comfort and security. Moses, David, Joshua, Paul, any one of the disciples. Well, certainly when we come to the Lord Jesus in faith, we know that we have the comfort of knowing our sins are forgiven, and we have the promise of security that a home in heaven is being prepared for us. But the basic nature of faith is this. Faith involves risk and challenge. The risk and challenge of being associated with and following a God whose person and ways are basically a mystery. If anybody tells you they have God all figured out, then they don't have God all figured out. Because our God is not someone you can put in a box. In his book, Living the Message, Eugene Peterson puts it this way. He says, what is hazardous in my life is my work as a Christian. I have never seen God. In a world where nearly everything can be weighed, explained, quantified, subjected to psychological analysis and scientific control, I persist in making the center of my life a God whom no eye hath seen, nor ear has heard, and whose will no one can probe. That's a risk. Think about what we do when we are people of faith. Certainly we are convinced that God is reliable, that God is faithful, but if you step back a moment and look at it the way that Eugene Peterson frames it here, there's a God whom no eye has seen, a God whose will we cannot plumb the depths of, and yet we build our lives around him. That's faith. That's the kind of faith that Hobab is called to. It's the kind of faith that we are called to. And what we need to understand about faith is this, is that there are no guarantees when we come to God in faith, when we come to Christ in faith. There are no guarantees of quiet evenings at home. There are no guarantees of adequate bank accounts or trouble-free lives. And again, if you don't believe that, read the stories, especially the stories of the prophets and the lives that they lived as they were faithful and followed God. Faith realizes that God can't be put in a box. As much as we like our theology, especially in the Reformed faith, we like to define everything and get it all organized and categorized, the reality is that God can't be put in a box. Another reality about faith is this, is that faith doesn't retire at 65. Moses is a powerful example of that. He had a pretty comfortable life. I mean, I'm not sure I would want to be hanging out in the desert watching sheep for 40 years like he was, but he had a pretty comfortable life. And God calls him out of that life into a life of risk and challenge, and he does the same thing for us. Faith abandons itself to God. It says, not what I will, but you will. And that's the choice that Hobab has to make. And it's a choice that we have to make. The truth, folks, is this. Whether you've heard this message 100 times or 1,000 times, or you're hearing it for the very first time, this call to faith in Jesus Christ, the invitation is out there. God calls you to in a relationship with Him, a relationship in which He makes promises to you of goodness and love and grace, but also of risk. The invitation is out there, and what will you do with it? Fortunately, in our story, we see Hobab's acceptance of the invitation. Even though Scripture doesn't record Hobab's response to Moses' invitation, we get a response not in so many words. Look at verse 33 again. It says this, "So they set out from the mountain of the Lord." The implication is that Hobab went along, that he surrendered his life and his future to the Lord. And we find confirmation of that in the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 1, verse 16, and chapter 4, verse 6, we find that Hobab's descendants received the reward of his faith. These non-Israelites enter into the promised land with God's people, and they claim some of the inheritance. And you know what? It's my guess, and I'm just doing a little bit of divine imagination or sanctified imagining here, that Hobab never regretted his decision for a moment. After all, how could the life of a wandering sheep herder, a wandering metalsmith, compare with being a part of one of the greatest events in human history? Now, I call it one of the greatest events in human history because the single greatest event in human history is when God sent His Son Jesus Christ into the world. The single greatest event is when Christ came and lived and died and rose again and ascended into heaven for you and for me. And what's remarkable about God's call to faith, what's remarkable about the call that God gives to us, is He invites us to be a part of that story. He invites us to step into this story where God is renewing the earth through the power of Jesus Christ. You and I get an opportunity to issue to our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers and our fellow students the same kind of invitation that Hobab offered to Moses. Come with us. We're on a journey of faith, and God has promised great things. Come and travel with us. In writing about this particular story of Hobab, Warren Wiersbe says the following. He says, "The church is a pilgrim people in this world, traveling toward heaven, and it's our privilege to invite others to come along with us. The journey isn't easy, but God is blessing His people now and will bless them forever." And then the question at the end, how many people have we invited lately? As we take part in the journey of faith, inviting others to join us, and I've experienced this and many of you have as well, you get to see lives changed. People moving from death to life, from darkness to light. You got to be a part of one of the greatest events in human history, this joy of sharing Jesus Christ with the world around us. And all it takes for us to be a part of that story is a decision. A decision like Hobab was confronted with, to believe, to trust, to give ourselves to God. A decision to take the risk. to forego the safety of our comfortable lives and to really live. In Hobab, we have a perfect picture of the challenge of the life of faith. The challenge between the decision between comfort and risk, between security and being involved in the greatest story ever told. Like him, we might be tempted to choose comfort and security over risk and challenge. But remember this, God has so much more in store for you than you can possibly imagine. As the Apostle Paul says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can possibly imagine what God has in store for those who love him. Hobab took the risk, and he took his place among the people of God. And he challenges us to take the risk as well, and to take our place in the glorious kingdom of God. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we thank you for the challenge, the risk that you have called us to. We know that faith often is told to us and sold to us as being something of comfort, something that wraps us in this cocoon, that protects us from the world around us. But Lord, your call to faith propels us into the world. To be those like Moses who invite, to be those like Hobab who accept that invitation and who step into this story, this marvelous story of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people of the world. We ask, Lord, that you will help us to be those who step out in faith, who take risks, who share our faith with our neighbors or our friends, with those who take risks and travel to places where there are those who need to know the gospel of Jesus Christ, who step into the grief of friends to care for them and to love and serve them. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us, like Hobab, to leave those comforts behind and join the people of God on this journey that you guide and direct, this journey at the end of which you will bless us mightily. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.